Blog Talk Radio.
And good morning. How is everyone? Or good afternoon? Or what the heck? I don't know what kind of day this is. This is Florida, and it is rainy and kind of cold here. So I have with me today Bill Jurek. He is he's been an announcer, a staff announcer. He's been on in the media for over 40 years. But I'd like to talk to him right now and have his claim to fame. The book that he's writing and will soon be published. The book's name is The Three Trees, and it is an inspiring and motivational book that talks about him and his experience in going blind and overcoming cancer and dealing with a lot of other personal issues. I'm going to bring him on right now.
Stacey.
Hey, Bill, are you there?
I am here. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. A little rainy down here because I'm also in Florida, but you know what? After this comes the sunshine, so we'll be fine.
It sure does. You know, I introduced you, and I'd like you to kind of give us just a brief bio about you as well as talking about your book, okay? You know what, and give me a minute because I'm getting an echo here and we're having like a little techno difficulties here, which is normal for me because I'm not the most technology person in the world, but give me a minute here and then we can proceed. Okay, that's a little better. Okay, Bill, please expound upon your little bit of experience here and let's talk Bill Jurek for a little while.
All right, we should do that, but don't feel bad about being technically challenged because I'm such a techno-idiot, it's not even funny. If the people only knew in the audience how much more advanced you are than me, I mean, I could take my computer, throw it out the window, that's how I feel about it. But no, thank you for having me on this. Thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. And the three trees that you mentioned, that's almost completed and should be ready to go in about a month or so. It is a book that it's not even a book. It's more or less like a pamphlet. Okay, it's a very, very short mm-hmm. book. But what I've done is I've taken a story that has an anonymous writer, and it's called The Three Trees, and it talks about how in life, you know, when we're young, we set out to have our whole life planned for us. You know, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and it's all going to follow just the course that we want. Unfortunately, that's not how life is. And occasionally we get bombarded and we take a turn. And that turn sometimes, what it does is it eliminates our self-confidence. It diminishes our self-worth. And with the story of the three trees, it relates on how you may have had one idea that you were going to be successful and that you were going to be known for. But because of that turn that you took, life has something else planned for you. And I firmly believe that we all have a purpose here, and we may be going down the wrong road. You know, I've often said, after being in broadcast, I've had vision problems all my life. I was an ROP baby, and what that means is premature retinopathy. And I've had a fight for everything that I wanted to do. I mean, the three trees is only one example of where I'd like to go out and speak to groups. I really would like to go out and speak to groups, whether in the Florida area or anywhere in the country, to let them know that, you know, it's okay what you're going through. You know, people go through these changes in their life. There's another book I'm working on. It has a working title right now called Fading to Black. And being that I was in the television and radio industry for so many years, I was an employee of NBC for over 35 years. It is a book that is going to act as like an autobiography, but as well as in that book, I'm going to explain and show parents who are maybe experiencing premature births with a baby that it's not the end all. there's going to be huge opportunities for your child in the future, particularly with the research that's being done. And then later in the book, because glaucoma is a, I won't say a natural offshoot of being an ROP baby, but it is a complication that can cause you more vision problem. And in that arena, there is so much work being done that there's a couple of researchers back up in Chicago that are doing fantastic things with DNA, and they found the lock and key of what causes glaucoma. And I write about that in the book and talk about that. There may even be a cure for it. So, I mean, it goes that far. But I also talk about the fights that I've had along the way. Being a small baby, being premature, I had a fight. I had a blood transfusions. I was small. I had to grow into a life that started out with glasses, with different eye diseases that are related to ROP. I had to, you know, have special conditions in a regular school. That's one thing I will say. But I was able to accomplish the things that I wanted to, even so far as to get into the career that I wanted to follow as my life's work. Unfortunately, somebody had another idea. Because the glaucoma came in, and having the same doctor for many, many years, we consulted with the glaucoma specialist and everything else, and I was like 5 years ahead of the curve when they really started to do a lot of research, so I lost my vision. And to somebody who reads for a living, that was a devastating thing, because I sat at home on the couch, and I wondered, what am I going to do? How am I going to continue doing my work? Well, as it turns out, the people that I worked with at NBC were so cooperative, they were so willing to help make things easy for me to do, that I was able to continue on and have a very wonderful career with them. And when I retired back in 2010, there were opportunities for me that, had I stayed on, I probably would have never done. I created a show that is designed specifically for people with disabilities, for veterans, and for seniors. I have had the ability to be able to sit on a federal communications committee, advisory committee, to kind of do some rulemaking and present it to the whole commission so that it would make it a lot more accessible for people who are blind or visually impaired. Because a lot of times when you sit and you watch television and you get weather alerts, there's just the beeps and there's a crawl on the screen. Well, now we've come up with the legislation to make it possible that the message is read, whether it's through a mechanical voice or whatever, but it can be read. I've had so many opportunities to do so many different things, and that's why I really have focused on the three trees, because I was devastated. I didn't know what I was going to do. So this showed me that I had another plan in life. There's a higher being had something more for me to do yet.
You know, that sounds good. You are really the advocate out here for people that – I'm a voice for people that are survivors of abuse. You are a voice for people that are surviving going blind and being in the thralls of dealing with cancer as well.
Right. Thank you. I appreciate that. And what I want to do is I want to share with these groups, if I can get in with hospital groups that have meetings for people who are just finding out that they've been diagnosed with cancer. You know, everybody hates the C word. It's a devastating word, and it is something that really, really knocks the wind out of you. And you've got to have someone there for support, someone to back you up, someone to show you that it's not the end all. And one of the things I did learn going through the cancer treatment that I had received, and, you know, knock on wood, I'm at a point here with the extreme radiation that I had for I had collegial cancer, and for the cancer that I had, they were able to radiate it out of my body. So I have no signs of cancer. There's a few other complications that come up afterward. But, you know, after being exposed to that kind of radiation, I'm sure that, you know, you're going to experience different things. But getting back to the main point, what I want to do is I'd like to talk to people and let them know that attitude is an important thing. You have to think positively. You have to take the disease that you have there and don't let it rule your life. You have to rule the disease, whether it's cancer, whether it turns out to be emphysema, whether it turns out to be blindness, whether it turns out to be starting to lose your hearing, or maybe a orthopedic type of condition, you have to take control of it, because there's only one thing that really works. Well, there's a few things that work. One of the main things is getting the good medical team that's right for you, that are going to want to work with you, that have your best interest in mind and not necessarily best interest of the institution. You want people to make sure that, you know, you're getting the best possible care. But, you know, faith plays an important part, too. There was a study that was made, it came out sometime last month in January, and it's probably one of the good things that came out of January. But anyway, it's a study that came out that showed that faith actually changes the condition of thinking and of concentration. And the other thing is you have to believe in yourself. One of the things you have to do is you have to find something that you did that you were really proud of, a real accomplishment that you did in your life. And you have to take the feeling that you had, the ambition that you had, and the determination that you had for that particular job or maybe avocation or passion or whatever, and you have to apply that now to yourself. You have to believe in yourself. That's the most important thing. And one thing I also discovered after going blind is that common sense is extremely important. You must be able to think through a situation. You should be able to reason things through. The unfortunate thing is, and I've talked to people at guide dog schools, I've talked to people at different blind organizations and that, and even the practitioners that I've dealt with cancer, they said a lot of people don't have the common sense to think through things. You know, particularly if, going back to the blindness issue, if you don't have common sense, you're going to have a more difficult time in becoming independent. When I first lost my vision, I went through the Department of Human Services in Illinois. They were wonderful. They helped me out. And my late wife said, well, you paid for it all these years, you might as well take advantage of it. And that's what I did. I mean, I worked with a caseworker that came in and taught me Braille, introduced me to an orientation and mobility instructor. And it was through that orientation and mobility instructor that I discovered that maybe the right thing for me would be to get a guide dog. Because if you saw me walk down the street, it wasn't pretty. I mean, I look like a drunken sailor walking down the street. I do what they call shorelining. And what that is when you stay close to a building or you stay close to the curb. You know how many times I got to know lampposts that I didn't even know that were there? I mean, it's just amazing.
Close and personal, huh, Bill?
it's just amazing. But those are the things I think that help people get through it. And I'm willing to, you know, come in and speak to a group. I'm willing to talk to people on an individual basis, whatever is comfortable for them. Because sometimes, you know, you get people in a group, and they're not necessarily that comfortable in opening up when there are maybe, you know, 5 or 6 or 10 other people around. But maybe if you get to talk to them, if I get to talk to them on a one-on-one basis, they're willing to open up. As somebody in what I'd like to do has to accomplish, you have to gain trust. And if you gain the trust of the person, you can help them out, you know. And concentrate on what you know. That's the big thing.
You know, and I found, I found that when I work with my clients in my practice, the fact that I'm a survivor of abuse and that I was brought up in an addictive environment when I was growing up, it opens me up to be more open to what they're saying. You know, I think a lot of people don't open up and talk about things because they're afraid of judgmental issues. You have to really walk in somebody's shoes before you can really, you know, know exactly. It's all well and good, and there's a lot of people out here, and bless their hearts, to say, I understand. I know how you feel. But you really don't know how you send that other person feels unless you actually experience that issue.
You know, it's very true what you say, and here is an example in my own personal life to kind of add to what you're saying there. My dad died back in 1989. And prior to his passing away, I used to go to wakes and to funerals, and I would, you know, console the family members, you know, going up to them and say, oh, my, you know, I know how you feel. I'm so sorry that you lost your father. You don't know. You really don't know until you go through it yourself. So one thing I never do anymore is say, I know how you feel, because I don't know how they feel. And everybody takes from a situation different feelings. There could be anger. There's obviously sorrow. There could be tension with other family members. You know, there's so much emotional happenings that are going on at the time that you don't understand. But I lost my first wife. You know, she was a victim of cancer. She had many problems. She was bipolar. She had an alcoholic problem. She had developed cancer. And, you know, it was terrible to see what she went through. And it's bad for me to say this, or maybe some people will say, no, it's good that you're saying it. But there was no quality of life for her at the end. And she was in a situation where what happened must have been her destiny to happen when it did, because she just didn't understand. But this was a whole new experience for me. I never lost a mate. You know, naturally losing a parent is one thing, but you don't know all of the other ramifications that go along with losing someone. You don't know about the legal aspect of it. You don't know about how it's going to affect other members of the family. I have three sons. You know, one of them took it extreme. One of them was not away. He was away at college or away at working in California at the time. The other one, my middle son, took it very hard, turned into a situation where he was doing substance abuse. And my youngest boy locked himself away to isolate himself because he figured that was the best way to get away from it all. And me, I was so confused, I went into a emotional eating situation where I figured that if I ate, I would satisfy one part of my thinking and I would go to sleep and forget about what was going on around me. And at the time, I had just lost my vision, so I was trying to deal with that, trying to deal with the situation that she had presented, and then tried to deal with the boys. And, you know, to be quite honest with you, it was a little overwhelming. And I had a real good friend who helped me get through it, and that's why I'm here today.
You know, I like to kind of backtrack a little bit, Bill. You expounded a little bit about... I think it's really important, and it's very important, and I talk to my clients as well, and I experienced it in my life. The kind of people that are around you, they can either build you up or tear you down. And if you're already in what we were in, which is I estimate to be a crisis situation, and it is a crisis situation because you hear every day that people just don't even want to be around anymore because they don't want to deal with anything. You were a brave person, and I commend anybody that's gone through any kind of trauma, and you did go through trauma. Losing your vision is trauma. Going through cancer is trauma. That cancer, I'm going to share this with the audience, that cancer is the cancer that killed Walter Payton. So it is a serious, serious cancer. Not a lot of people make it. And Bill made it from determination, and you were hard-headed. And, you were determined you were going to fight, and that's what you've done all your life. But the people that are around you, your environment, the people you let in your life make a big difference on how you present yourself to the world in these situations and how you deal with things. If you have someone in your life that is a negative influence on you, it can impact you emotionally, it can impact you physically, and it can impact you spiritually. Do you agree, Bill?
I totally agree with you, and I will say this. In the other book that I'm working on, I'm going to show you, talk about determination. I'm going to, there's a section of the book that shows how determined I was to make sure that I could continue to work. And one of the parts of the book was I had a guide dog at the time from Guiding Eyes for the Blind in Yorktown Heights, New York. and they provided me with this dog. But my wife at that point was starting to go through some mental, her own problems. They really got aggravated because. Probably because of my blindness and probably a few other things as well that go back in her life, which I don't know about, so I'm not going to get into. But the story I want to tell is that I got the dog, and she would drop me off at the train station. And then as things started to progress and it wasn't getting better and she was starting to develop her own problems, she said, "You're on your own. You got to figure out your own way." Now, I lived out in the country. And I was going into downtown Chicago to work, and I would go in to do an overnight radio shift on a station there. And the unfortunate thing was, when I would go in, I would have to catch the last train going through the suburb, which was at 9:35 p.m. Now, I started at midnight, so I had to leave at 9:30 in the evening to go to work. But in reality, I had to leave my house at 9 o'clock so that I could get to the train station and make sure I didn't miss the train. I don't mean to tell you, it was not the easiest thing in the world, especially when the weather, like they're experiencing in Chicago now with the sub-zero, the snow and everything else. That poor guide dog and I used to stand in a pass-through, and we would stand there. I would protect him, he would protect me, and we would wait for that train to come because the station was closed. We would be there in the rain. We would be there in the heat. But the worst was the wintertime when we were there. But I was bound and determined that I'm going to make it work. And I think that determination came from when I was little and I wanted to get into radio. One of my relatives had a friend who was doing what they called a broker time radio show. And if people don't know what that is what that means is in a larger radio market, well, even in the smaller ones too, but in a larger radio market, someone who has an idea for a radio program can put it on the air. This particular one was an ethnic music program. And I kind of looked up to this guy because he had this show, and I didn't really understand about that whole concept yet. But I told him I wanted to be a broadcaster. You know, I want to be on the radio. He says, "Well, the only thing you'll probably do is sit on the radio." Well, that right there was the determining factor to prove to him that I was going to achieve what I wanted to. And it was these little things that happened through my life that, because I'm stubborn, like you said earlier on. And because I'm determined, I thought to myself, I am going to show you I can do it. And you have to have that I can do it attitude.
You do. You really do. I think that's what makes us survivors. It's really important that, you know, I think it's really important, though, as I was saying before, is to really be careful who you let into your circle of influence. And especially when you're dealing with the issues that you and I have dealt with, and probably a lot of people out in the audience maybe have dealt with, you know, words can hurt. Actions can hurt as well, but words stick with you. And they can be a scar that sometimes never goes away if the issues are not dealt with. So I think you and I have both been privy to that situation, and luckily, you have been a survivor, and you have moved forward. And I'd like to kind of fast forward here a little bit, and I want to talk about your future plans, Bill.
Me? I just want to retire, lay back, and do nothing. No, 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 I'm kidding. I could never do that.
No, no, I don't see that with you.
I've always said that I was never going to do that. You know, there was a line in an old Jonathan Winters television program, and his daughter wanted him to move to Florida, and he says, "Move to Florida, God's waiting room." Well, I don't look at it that way. I look at it as a new opportunity and a new chapter in my life. And what I'm planning on doing is I'd like to go and share my thoughts through those books, talk to groups, be a keynote speaker, do seminars, be a consultant with someone who's having a problem, and you know, be a life coach, help them get over the bumps that they're experiencing, you know. And I'm not ready to go yet. And I got this philosophy about religion. My philosophy about religion is that there's somebody up there who's a lot brighter and smarter than we are. And if you're in the audience and you don't believe, well, I'm sorry for you, but there is. And the point is that he's got plans for you. And if I was able to survive all I survived, that means my work is not done here yet. And what I want to do is go out there and help others experience life again. You didn't die. That's not a just because you were told you had cancer. That doesn't mean you're going to die because you have cancer. If you went blind, that doesn't mean you're going to die or that you're worthless to anything. You have so much to contribute. You have to find that. I talked about lock and key earlier with glaucoma. You have to find the key to that lock so that you can restructure your thinking, that you can take the talents that you have and use them in a different manner than you originally started out with. Hence, we go back to the three trees.
I agree. Now, when is this book going to be out?
Probably around later spring. But what I'm going to do is I am going to start doing presentations. So if anybody would like to contact me, please feel free to do so. I'll be more than glad to, come and talk to the group. And I will have this pamphlet out probably late spring, maybe around April, sometime in April. And I just got to finalize it now. I wrote the basic format of the book and the content of the book. Now what I have to do is find. It's going to be a self-published thing. So what I'm going to have to do is design the cover and figure out exactly what I want to do with it. And it's going to be available. It'll be available on a website that I have, and it's also going to be available. Hopefully, I can get it on eBooks and places like that. And even if you just read the book, I'm going to include my contact information in there so that if somebody reads the book and would like to talk more, they'll be able to contact me. We'll be able to talk on a one-on-one basis. But what I'd like to do more than anything is be able to find organizations, to be able to find groups that would like me to come in and would like me to do my presentation and then sit down and actually talk with people. Because I think the best thing someone can have is to know that there's somebody out there. You have a comrade out there who's willing to work with you and understands. You know, you got time for a real short story I want to tell you.
Sure,
about.
Yeah, please, by all means.
That my mom is a very religious person. And she would go to a church, and there would be a lady who would come in every week. This was before I lost my vision. She would come in this other lady would come in with her son who was like, maybe in his late 30s, early 40s, and she would do everything for him. She made sure that he got seated. She made sure that that he was, comfortable in church and everything. And then it got over a period of time, this would go on for a few years, and it got to the point where she didn't see this lady and her son anymore. And being that this was a Catholic church, they had a order of sisters that were there, yet they would maintain the church and everything. And my mom happened to ask one of the nuns that were there. She said, "Well, whatever happened to the lady with the son, the blind son that used to come in?" And the nun says, "Oh, she passed away, and he really couldn't take care of himself, so they had to put him into a home." That's the thing I want to get across to people who are losing their vision, is that don't be dependent on anyone. And someone who lives with a person who's starting to lose their vision, don't be an enabler. Yeah, they're going to run into a wall. Yeah, they're going to get bruises on their forehead. But the thing is to find them ways of getting the help that they need, the orientation and mobility. What the orientation and mobility means is to know where you are. And by using a cane or by using a dog or even having somebody as a sighted guide, you have an idea where you're going. You know, you're not lost, is what I'm trying to get at. And, yeah, maybe you'll make a mess if you eat at the beginning and everything else. You learn how to do it. It's nothing to be embarrassed about. People have gone through this for years. People are going to go through it for years, even though the ophthalmologic and research people are doing wonders for different eye diseases. I mean, there's companies that are helping people as they become seniors. And that's the most embarrassing thing, Stace. The thing is, when I started losing my vision, and I had some vision left yet, where I was able to walk with a white cane, do you know what was the most embarrassing thing for me is when I would go in Chicago to go over to NBC, and I would catch the bus on Canal and Madison, and the bus would pull up, and because they had the white cane, he'd pull up in front of me. But because I couldn't really see it real well, I had to grope around. And in my mind, I would say, oh, God, people around me are saying, look at that blind guy, he can't do it. Yeah, well, I was a blind guy. And, yeah, I couldn't do it. And once I overcame that inhibition and realized the fact that, hey, this is what it is. This is how things are going to be. And if I want to sit home and become a mushroom, fine. But I had no intention of doing that. And if anybody has any kind of ambition, they can do it. I know women who have had babies, who have taken care of their babies, you know, and you know, when you stop and think about it, one of the messiest things you could do is have a little baby who's, you know, has had a diaper full. And I asked this person, I said, well, how did you deal with that? And she said, I dealt with a lot of baby wipes. But the point is, you can make it work. You just have to think differently. And that's where common sense comes in.
Exactly. You know, speaking of contact, would you be so kind as to give us your contact information?
I certainly can do that for you. It is. It would be my name, Bill, B-I-L-L, all small letters, by the way, at Bill Jurek, J-U-R-E-K, media.com. I'll say that again. Bill at Bill Jurek, J-U-R-E-K, media.com. And if somebody would care to call me, I'll give you my my office cell number, and that is 813-808-0757. It may take me a little while to get back to you because I'm working on all of these projects and that, but I promise you I will get back to you, and I'm willing to talk to you. And I just want to make people understand that if you have a turn in your life, it's not the dead end. You can knock down that cul-de-sac and make the road go through and continue on to be a major contributor to your life, to give your self-worth a boost, and also to help others who are around you, to show them that you have the courage and be a strength for them too.
You know, Bill, we're going to close after just a little while, but before we close, I really want to point something out. You know, you had all those years of media. You were staff announcers. You were you. It's a vast array of you were with NBC, WGN. Where else? I mean, I can't even remember every place you were at.
Oh,
now.
There was a ton of it. I mean, I worked for all three major network O&O stations. I worked for one of the most successful public television stations in the country, WTTW. I've been the commercial spokesman for companies like Serta Mattress. I have had national commercials for Dad's Root Beer Run. I have done lots of local advertising, Lazy Boy Showcase shops. Just to name a few, I've done industrial narrations. You know, I've had a wonderful career. And I can honestly say, you know what? I was one of those people who, when Monday morning hit, I was so excited about going to work. I really loved what I did. You know, the biggest gratification in life is getting paid for what you like to do. So,
uh-huh.
You know, you just have to believe in yourself. You have to have faith in yourself. That's the thing.
I think what I want to really touch on, though, in this conversation is how I think a lot of people go through transitions where they leave their jobs. They may get let go, or I don't even know what the terminology is, when they cut back. They go through those changes. They retire. They don't know what to do with themselves. They feel lost. They have no clue what's going on with them. They have no idea of how to move forward with their lives. You
right.
are an example of someone that has taken your experience and has molded it into another situation that you can actually help people. You know, I like to share with the audience as well, Bill has quite a resume in terms of his speaking, too. He's been the master of ceremonies numerous times with the organization that he's been involved with. He's done numerous speaking engagements. So he is really the person to come to talk about cancer survival, to talk about going blind, to talk about reinventing your life. He is definitely the expert in that. So I want to give you a little pat on the back. Don't let your
Aren't
head
you
get
nice.
So big you can't get through the door, though.
I was going to say, it's like the press.
Bill and I are friends. I want to bring that out into the audience. Bill and I have been friends a long time, so I can talk to him like that. That's how he and I talk with each other. But seriously, though, he is the person that he is the go-to person for experience. And I think it takes experience and actually having to live that in your life to be able to expound upon it and talk about it. You know, reading is great, reading is wonderful, but I think that you really develop the passion and the expertise to be able to relay all of that information if you've lived it and Bill has lived it.
You know, Stace, let me take it one step further, okay? You know my philosophy on people getting involved with trying to counsel people who have had problems like the vision loss and things like that. I mean, I'm not going to say that you shouldn't do it, but the one thing is that, you know, we're so degree heavy in this society that we live in today that many instances we forget that someone has experienced a situation can probably relate better to the person than someone who just learned how to deal with a situation through a book. I'm not saying you shouldn't get a degree. I'm not saying you should go to college. But, you know, my philosophy is that when you get that degree, you are showing everybody that you are able to complete the work that the college wanted you to complete. You've completed it their way of doing it. But to go out and experience like you have, to go out and experience like I have, I mean, that is by far even better than a PhD could possibly be, because you can relate, and that's the important thing.
Well, we have PhDs in life. That's the way I look at it, too.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right, you know. So, but you just got to stay positive, right? I mean, look
yeah,
what you're
going
through.
Yeah, you know what? We're getting ready to close up here shortly, but if you can give one little nugget of golden information to people, especially people that are survivors of cancer, people that have are losing their vision, and it's a terrifying situation. I know it is. What is your golden word nugget of advice?
Whoa, that's an interesting question. I never looked at it from that standpoint, but I think the best advice I could give somebody is to believe in yourself and to have faith in yourself. And like you said earlier on in the program, surround yourself with people that are positive. You don't need to surround yourself with bad feelings, with bad thoughts, or people that are going to walk around, you know, whispering about what you've got in your condition. You know, one thing, and you know me for this, I'm the kind of guy that will go in, and when a doctor has something to say, I'll tell him right out, say it. It's my body. It's my condition. Tell me what it is. Don't try to hide it from me, because I'm not your average patient. I can tolerate with it, and if you tell me what it is, then I can mentally deal with it and be able to work through the situation. So the thing is, believe in yourself. And if you believe in yourself and you have the determination to say, this is not going to get me down, you'll be the winner.
All right. That is that's wonderful words to inspire your day. All right, Bill, we're getting ready to close up. But again, before we close up, if you'd be so kind as to give us your contact number again, just in case somebody tuned in late, I'd appreciate it.
Oh, no problem at all. I'm working on a forthcoming book. It's right now has a working title of Fading to Black. It's going to be a chronicle of my life, as well as explanation of a couple of eye diseases. And right now I currently have the three trees out there that I have built a presentation around to help people. If you'd like to talk about either the books, or if you would like to talk with me and maybe have me come in and speak with your group or your organization, I would love to do it. My email address is Bill, all small characters. It's Bill, B-I-L-L, at Bill Jurek, J-U-R-E-K, media, all one word, .com. And my cell phone and office number is 813-808-0757. And don't think, if you're in the audience and you're listening, don't think that you wouldn't have something that we could talk about, because I'm willing to talk to anyone. And as minute as your feelings may be as far as a situation or the fear that you may have, let's talk about it. Let's see what we can do to get you to be the winner again.
Well, exactly. You know, in the substance abuse field, we used to tell everybody, your feelings are valid. So don't discount your feelings. All right, Bill. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to be on my show today. And your words of wisdom, you are definitely my hero. And please reach out to Bill. He is a cornerstone of knowledge and strength, and he will definitely give you some wonderful words of wisdom. Again, I've been talking to Bill Jurek from Bill Jurek Media, and give him a call. And thank you so much, Bill, for taking time out today.
You're quite welcome. It's been my pleasure. I look forward to talking to your audience as well.
Okay, have a great day. Bye-bye. All right. That was I love that show. That was like the best show. He's a real down to earth person. There's nothing that is fake about Bill. I just love that about him. I've had some great people in my show, and he was definitely one of them. So listen again next week and some more inspiration, some more education, and eye opening things. Again, next time at noon on Thursday, Eastern Standard Time, it is noon. My name is Stacey Giovanni, and you have been listening to Empowerment Radio for You. That is the number 4 and the letter U. I'm the 4U girl. And it's been my pleasure to have everyone on that's been on my show, and I look forward to having a lot more going on and having everybody listen. I am the owner of Lifetime Success for You, again, for you, the number 4, the letter U. I am a hypnotist and a neuro-linguistic program coach and instructor. I specialize in abuse, addiction. I teach NLP to realtors and other sales-motivated organizations. And I also work with emotional eating and weight loss and coping skills for caregivers. So if you're interested in talking to me, you can reach me at 813-808-2886, or you can email me at Stacey, Stacey, at Lifetime Success, the number 4, the letter U. I'm an author of No Time for Tears, A Survivor's Toolkit for Healing. I am a survivor of child abuse, sexual assault, and domestic violence. I speak from a life and education level. So, all right. Everyone have a wonderful day and continue to move forward with confidence. Have a great day. Bye-bye.